Well, it's nice to be back again and to have fellowship with you here in the church. My wife and I are very glad to be here because flying back from Florida last night, we had a rather rough aeroplane journey. And I know quite a bit about aeroplanes, having worked on them for many, many years before I came into the ministry. But we had some turbulence coming up from Florida, and then it settled down. It was very nice. And then all of a sudden, there was a thump, and the plane sort of moved sideways. I thought he'd hit something in the air. And my wife, who does not like flying, she was somewhat concerned about what was happening. But the Lord was good, and he brought us safely home again, and we're glad to be here to have fellowship with you in the gospel. I do remember after the service tonight, we will be meeting around the Lord's table to remember his death in his own appointed manner. And we invite all to come along who know the Lord and to share with us around the table of the Lord. I want to thank James for leading the service tonight and also for looking after the Bible class for the month when I was away, and we appreciate his labour of love. The Bible class will be continuing next Lord's Day in the will of the Lord, and we have four more messages to bring you of sermons from nature. We've done a lot of nature things in the Bible, and we'll be doing four more to bring us up to the end of the year. And then starting in the new year, I want to do a study in the life and the epistles of the Apostle Peter. I realize I never had done that myself before, spoke about it, but never an actual study on the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. We're going to do that in the will of the Lord in the new year. So do pray for that, that the Lord will open up our minds and show us wonderful things from out of the word of the Lord. And tonight we want to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. And we will commence our reading at verse 1 and read down to the end of verse number 15. Isaiah 59 and verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth falleth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. May the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's bow for a moment's prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come tonight before thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, our God, for thy word that thou hast given to us. Thou hast told us thy word is truth. Sometimes the message of thy word is that which encourages us. Other times we look at it and depresses us because it highlights our sin and our iniquity. But our Father, we thank thee as we have the communion table spread before us tonight. We have the reminder that our sins, though many, can be blotted out by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, O God, that when we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask, O Lord, to bless each of thy children tonight. O God, there are many challenges upon thy people for them to depart from thee or to become depressed and cast down. We ask thee, O God, that thou would strengthen them with might in the inner man by the word of God. And we thank thee, our Father, for that promise in the chapter that we were reading together, where thou hast told us when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And Lord, we're praying tonight that thou would lift that standard up and bless us and encourage thy people. We ask thee, our Father, if there be any who know not the Lord tonight, that thou would speak to them by thy word and save them by thy grace. And Father, we pray that thy hand be upon us for good. Speak, Lord, now, not in the empty eloquence of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of God the Holy Spirit. O God, close us in with thyself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The language that we use to communicate with one another, it does change with the passage of time. Some words that are popular or were popular in earlier days are no longer much used. You could take, for example, the word comely, that is a biblical word, and it's a word that means pleasant to look at. But the word comely is not very much used today, and I can look back in my own early days in the aircraft industry. We used things called slide rules, and not too many of the younger people today have any idea what a slide rule is. And we also used logarithmic tables for calculations, and again, not too many of the young people today would know what logarithmic tables are. So language changes as time goes on. But not only are words beginning to, some of them, not be used very much, but you find that new words and new expressions come into the language. For example, the word computer. I have an old an encyclopedia in 8 volumes that I bought away back in 1950, I think it was. And you look in there for computer, and they have about that there for computer in there, because in those days it wasn't a word that you used very much, but now it's used all the time. And some of these expressions that are added, they should cause us concern. There is one expression that you hear all the time now, and that is virtual reality. And virtual reality is something that seems to be real, but is not real. You'll find in the television advertisements and so on that things that you think are real are not real at all, but they have been generated by computers. Like, I remember once my brother, who was involved with the BBC in doing documentaries some years ago, And he took me into his house, and he had the computer on. And he said, "What do you see this?" And he pressed a button, and on the computer there came up a scene of a road, a country road, with a truck or a lorry going down through it. And that was very nice. And he said, "What do you see this?" He pressed the button again, and the truck disappeared completely. The road was still there. The trees were still waving in the wind, but the truck was not there. And he pressed the button, and it was back in again. You see, it was virtual reality. It seemed to be real, and it wasn't really real. And when you stop to think about it, all television, for example, is unreal. You look at the newsreader reading the news at night, and you look at that and you say, "Oh, he looks good. You can see every pimple on his face. The TV is so clear." But then you look, he's not real at all. All he is a bunch of thousands or maybe millions of pixels of light that form his face, but it's not real. And so we're living in the day of the virtual reality. And there's another expression that has come to light recently in this last couple of years, and that is the expression fake news. How many people have heard about fake news in recent days? And fake news, of course, is dishonest reporting. And it has been much in evidence in this past 2 years, although it's much older than that. I gave an interview down on Warden Avenue to a young reporter some years ago, and I felt sorry for him because he looked down at the heel, and he didn't look to be in good shape. So I gave him an interview, and the interview was published in the newspaper, 1,000 words. And in 1,000 words, there were 20 errors of fact. That's one error in every 50 words. Now, that takes some going, and he did that. And then today I picked up an article and read about a man down in the state of Maine. And this man, what he does, he gets up in the morning and he thinks, "What story will I write up today on my Facebook or whatever it is, and on my media, to shock the world?" And so he puts out a story that somebody has died who didn't die, or some political decision was made that was not made at all. And so he does that every day, putting out a false and a fake news. And so it is a serious problem. And the bottom line is that we are living in an increasingly untruthful and unreal world. And that's why I read to you from Isaiah chapter 59, where it says there in verse 14, "Truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Now, I'm not going to take this in its context. I'm going to lift it out of its context and use it to deal with a subject that is before us. Truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. And the problem is that the lack of emphasis on the truth has invaded also the Christian church as well. And you'll find evidences of fake news and virtual reality within the bounds of the Christian church. And that's a serious, serious problem. Now, the first thing I want to say is I want to look at the importance of the truth. First of all, realize that the Creator and Sustainer of all things, the Lord God, He is truth in His three divine persons. With regard to the Father, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, that He is a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. So God the Father is a God of truth. But Jesus Christ the Son, you're all familiar with John 14 and 6, where it tells us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." And then with regard to the Spirit of God in John chapter 16 and verse 13, it tells us, "When He, the Spirit of truth, is come," and then he goes on to explain how He will teach us all things. So the God exists in three persons, and each of those persons is not just truth, but infinite truth. And we as people, and the born again people, we are commanded to be like the Lord. The Bible tells us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Therefore, we are to be the utmost in truth in our dealings and honest in all that we do with people round about us. Now, because of the problems of today, many forces are arrayed against the Christian to lead him in a way that is away from the truth and away towards the devil's lie. Now, the core of a just and equitable society is truth. Without truth, societies, nations, families, businesses will descend into chaos. For example, if I was to come along and ask you, "Can you tell me how to get to so-and-so?" and you deliberately say something else and don't give me the right answer, well, I'm not going to get to where I want to get to. And if everybody did that, society would be in chaos. The Bible tells us that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the Lord has told us that God told us that thou shalt not bear false witness in the command. So we're commanded by God not to lie, not to be dishonest, but to be transparently honest in all our dealings with people round about us. And then also you discover in the Bible that God absolutely hates lying. I want you to understand that. In Proverbs chapter 6, there it tells us there are six things that God hates. And then he says seven is an abomination unto him. And one of those six things is a false witness that speaketh lies. Now, the whole of our society is invaded and infected by lying and untruth. And we are in danger as God's people of being again sucked into that vortex and becoming like the world at large. So we are to be very careful that we do not speak lies in any of our dealings. And then, of course, truth also is the very root of justice. Because when you go into be a witness, as I had to be a witness in a murder trial some years ago, and you stand up there in the witness box and they ask you to take an oath, and in that oath you say, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." Because if you get lying witnesses in the court, you have disaster. You had lying witnesses against the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had the disaster of what happened when he was nailed to the cross. But of course it was in the will of the Lord, and we appreciate that. So we're to tell the truth, and we are to be truthful. Now I want to think a little bit about the enemies of truth. Why is our modern society so untruthful? There are a number of answers to that, and I'll just give you a few of them to make you think, and then you can think of others yourself. There are a multitude of negative influences at work upon society, and that does not exonerate us. We also are there. The first one is Hollywood. Hollywood is a world of make-believe. That people go along and they watch the films and so on, and they may enjoy them, but they're not true. They, unless it's a documentary, these things that they produce are unbelieving things. They're make-believe. But things have changed over the years, because I remember as a boy when we would go to the cinema in those early days, the good guys always won, and the bad guys always lost. But nowadays it's changed, because the good guys are not so good, and the bad guys are not so bad. And so they produce this stuff, and then those people who live in a world of make-believe, they're the ones who come and try to instruct society as to how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do. Little wonder the world's in such a mess as it is today. And Hollywood, of course, started off very simple with a degree of morality in the early days, and then that changed because they had to keep doing something to interest the people, and so therefore they got deeper and deeper into the bucket of human depravity until now there's nothing that they will not do. And so there's one of the reasons why our society is so much of a mess. Also, in the world of politics, we joke at times, did you ever find an honest politician? You listen to them. You see them interviewed, and you ask them a question, and they don't answer the question. They give you the answer they want you to have, and they are very good at that. And the world today has moved away a long way from George Washington. George Washington, he said, "I cannot tell a lie." That's when he cut down his father's cherry tree. "I cannot tell a lie." But today, you speak to the average politician, and he would answer and say, "I cannot tell the truth, because if I tell the truth, it is going to cause me to lose out politically." So there's another reason why our society is filled with untruth. The business world also. In the business world, there are so many people who are happy to gain advantage, financial advantage, using untruthful methods and so on, and lying and getting on like that. Then there's also product advancement. Now, it's funny, people watch the TV news and they watch the TV advertisements and so on. And I said to my wife there a couple of weeks ago, I don't think I've ever bought something that was advertised on the TV or in the media. I'm not going to be sucked in by what they say. But a lot of that there is absolutely based on profit only. And truth is absolutely inconsequential. Don't have to be true. And so false advertisement is a common practice. And then in the social media, I mentioned that man that I read about this morning in Maine, whose whole life is taken up writing up fake news stories and sending them out, and then people will take them and they will believe them and they will tell you about them. And if you don't believe what they tell you about them, you're wrong. And the whole thing is a lie from beginning to end. So the social media is a fountain of dishonesty and of untruthfulness. And then there's the one that really gets me is the telephone scams. They're now calling in from the Canada Revenue telling you that you're owing money for taxes and so on, and don't respond to that except by delete, because that's a real problem. I have a difficulty with the duct cleaners, the air duct cleaners in the house. I have now had 161 calls. I can keep it in my mind and over 161 calls about my ducts. And I feel like saying, I don't have any ducts, but I have a couple of geese out in the back garden, if you want to have a look at those. So that, again, is a scam. And right now they're beginning to catch on to that. And there have been some arrests and so on across the world about that. So this is a problem. These things, all leading up to a dishonest society, and there's a danger the Christian will get involved in that as well. But the other scams too is that I got an email from Dr. Paisley. This is when he was alive. And he was in Spain. And he told me in this that he had been mugged. And that he had had all his money and his passports and all taken, and could I help him? Now, as soon as I saw that, I knew that was not it. Because Dr. Paisley wasn't in Spain. He was in Northern Ireland at that time. And then I got one from John Hanna, our missionary in Spain. And he was mugged. It's funny how the same thing happens. He was mugged up in the north of Scotland, where he was up there. And could I send money to John to get him back home again? So be very careful with your telephone when you hear those things. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. And then there's the one that comes in and tells you that you have been, we're trying to give and donate and install in your bank account $1,000 from somewhere. And you have to tell them, of course, where your bank account is. And once you do that, you're in real trouble. So just take the thing, phone down, and forget about it. But my friend, what we have to remember is that the greatest enemy of truth, all these things I've mentioned are building up to it, but the greatest enemy of truth is the devil himself. Because the Bible tells us in that wonderful verse that the Lord gave us in John 8:44, he said to those unbelieving Jews, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, the Lord said, ye believe me not. So the lies of the devil were coming on top of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a serious matter. And he, of course, is the father of lying. Now, Christians are surrounded by lying forces and enemies of the truth. If we follow the Lord and obey his word, we will live honest, truthful, and righteous lives. But if we are found liars and are untruthful, then we are not following the example of our Master, but we are following the example of the wicked one who came to Eve and said, God surely has not said you're going to die. So he lied. He lied to Eve and led to the first sin upon the whole of humanity. So we need to be very careful to draw a distinction between truth and error, and to make sure that we are truthful in all that we're doing. Now we come to a profound question. Jesus Christ is standing before Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem in that mock trial that he had at that time. And Jesus said to Pilate, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And then Pilate comes with a very profound question in itself, and that is, what is truth? Well, I don't know why I asked that, because truth was standing before him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth." And he's standing before Pilate. And so he could see the truth right there. And then again, not only could he see the truth, but he could hear it, because Jesus said in John 17, "My word is truth." The word of God is truth. So he was listening to the voice of the Lord Jesus, who is truth. And so he comes along with this question, and he is answering, the Lord's answering him for his question. Now, a practical application of this is for you and me, that if we are going to be honest and upright and truthful in all our day doings, then we need to read the Word of God. Read it. Really read it. And to read it in such a manner that we understand that God has said, "Thy word is truth." You want to have truth in your life, you'll get it right here. It's here in God's Word, so we're to read the Word. And then not only that, but we are to listen to the Word. Not just so many prints and letters on a page, but rather to listen. And Jesus Christ, he is the voice of God. He was the voice in the Garden of Eden that came to Adam. That Jesus Christ is the Word of God, so we are to read the Word. We are to listen for the voice of the Lord speaking to us and guiding us and revealing His will to us. And then we read the Word, we listen to the Word of the Lord Jesus, and then we obey the Word. Because if we obey the commandments and the word of the Lord that He has given us here, we will live an honest and a truthful life and will be a means of blessing to those round about us. So may God help us to examine our lives and make sure that the devil has not got into us. Because in the book of Thessalonians, you read there that the devil makes people to believe the lie or his lie. And so we want to stay as far away from him as we can. And we want to live a life that is honest and truthful and absolutely transparent in all we're doing. I want to close off with a serious warning. A very, very serious warning that comes from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and the penultimate chapter, chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And this is from the Lord Himself telling us that people who persist in lying and that sort of thing, they are going to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and with brimstone. And so we ask ourselves, will God so judge the world as we read here? Is He going to do that? Well, during my time down in Florida, I read through Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel. And these are not easy books. Jeremiah can be quite discouraging when you read about the sins of Israel and so on. And you read in Ezekiel, same sort of thing, that judgment passed upon Israel and Judah and upon Assyria and Ammon and Moab and Tyre and Egypt and Ethiopia and Babylon and so on. And you ask the question, these prophecies of Jeremiah and of Ezekiel, were they fulfilled? And the answer is they were fulfilled. And those nations today are nothing. Some of them don't even exist, but some of them who do still exist, they're not only a patch of what they were in the early days, because God does judge and God does fulfill His word. So anybody who is not listening to the words of the Lord, as He said, and is dwelling in truth, they are in danger of the judgment given there in Revelation chapter 21. But on the other hand, that John in his third epistle says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that's why we have a Sunday school. That's why we have a day school. That's why we have a kids club on Friday night. That's why we have young people's fellowships, so that they may learn to walk in the truth of God. And we need more and more in this wicked, wicked generation to emphasize the truth of the Word of God. And if you focus on this here, this book, and what God has given to us, you'll be able to raise a generation and rejoice with John when he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And may our prayer tonight be, Lord, help us. Help us in face of all the accusations and all the forces arrayed against us as a people. Help us, Lord, to walk in truth ourselves. And so that our young people may realize that Christianity is not just something light. It is serious. And that we live by it. And we live by the truth of His word. So may God help us. And as we come to the communion table in a few minutes, may the Lord help us to come and to confess If there is an area there, Lord, where we have been slack with regard to the truth, that the Lord would forgive it, and thank God for that promise, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art the living and the true God. And we thank Thee, our Father, for Thy love toward Thy people, in that Thou hast brought them face to face with the One who is the truth of God, the Lord Jesus. And we thank Thee, our Father, for saving our never-dying souls. And Lord, we pray that Thou would help us to be like Him and to walk in truth. And Lord, we pray that Thou would help us in this day and generation when untruthfulness is the norm. Oh God, help us to lift high the standard of the truth of the Word of God. And so be with us, we pray, and bless us. And Lord, as we come now to meet around the table of the Lord, we pray that Thou would speak to every heart and give us a conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. And Lord, take us home tonight rejoicing in the truth of God and in His Word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before our